Yes! Harris Fishers shouted as his second broadside crashed into the Delphiraken. His gun crews knew how urgent speed was, but they were taking time to aim as well, firing on the downroll so that every shot hammered into their target's hull and another storm of iron smashed into the galley. Arrowhead was more heavily built than Kraken, but not nearly so heavily as a Carisian galley, and her turn had exposed her side instead of her narrow beam, giving Kraken's gunners a longer, bigger target. The heavy round shot smashed into her timbers, shattering and splintering, killing and maiming, and he could hear the screams of wounded and dying men as the galley's momentum carried her still closer. The Delphiraken managed to get the rest of the way around, and her broadside of light falcons barked. At least three of the 8-pound shots slammed into Kraken, and someone cried out in pain. But the galleon's smoke-streaming carronades had already recoiled, their crews were already reloading, and the galley had scarcely fired before Kraken's broadside bellowed for a third time. MacNeil staggered, clinging to the rail for balance, as the Carisian's fire crashed into his ship again and again while she wallowed. Arrowhead's rowers were in hopeless disarray. She lost all forward way. Dead and wounded lay heaped about the decks as she fell helplessly off to leeward. Lieutenant Garman was down, dead or wounded, MacNeil didn't know which. And as he watched, the merchantman, which had already so mangled his command, altered course. She turned downwind, angling to cross his broken, bleeding ship's stern at a range of mere yards, and he knew there was nothing at all he could do to stop her. He watched the Carisian's guns running back out yet again, saw them flash fresh fire, felt the impact of their iron on his ship as if in his own flesh, and knew it was over. "Strike the colors!" he heard someone else shouting with his own voice. "Strike the colors!" Fishier watched the green and orange Delphiraken colors come down like a wounded wyvern, and his lips drew back in a snarl. Behind his eyes, he saw again those bodies being thrown over the side of their own ship like so much harbor garbage. Heard again the survivors' reports of murder and massacre, of dead women and slaughtered children, and the screaming encouragement to slaughter the heretics in God's name. His guns thundered yet again, and fierce exultation blazed in his heart as their iron shot smashed into the galley's splintering hull. They'd chosen to start the slaughter, he thought savagely. Now they could deal with the consequences. "They've struck, sir!" Edwards cried in his ear, and Fishier nodded. "I know," he said flatly, as yet another broadside thundered into the mangled, bleeding carcass of his enemy. "Damn it, sir, they've struck!" Edwards shouted. "So what?" Fisher wheeled on his first officer, then shot out one arm, pointing back the way they'd come. "Did they give us any warning, like an officer and a gentleman is supposed to do? Did the people we're not even at war with stop when they were murdering our people, our women and children, burning our ships, killing our friends?" Edwards looked at him for a moment, then shook his head and leaned closer. "No, sir, they didn't. But these people were clear out here when it happened, and even if they hadn't been, we're not them. Do you really want us to turn into exactly what Clinton's already accused us of being?" Fishier's eyes went wide in astonishment as bluff, unimaginative Kevin Edwards threw that question into his teeth. For a long, breathless moment, while the guns roared yet again, they stood there, eyes locked, and it was the captain's gaze which fell.
"No, Kevin," he said,
and his voice would have been all but inaudible, even without the thunder of battle raging about them.
"No, I won't be that."
He drew a deep breath looked once more at the broken, bleeding galley, and then raised his voice.
"Cease fire!"
Harris Fisher shouted.
"Cease fire!"